Begin PodFix Network transmission. In 3, 2, 1.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fish Nerds, a show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. I'm Clay Groves, Chief Executive Fish Nerd, Licensed Fishing Guide, and your best friend. Big show today. You're going to love this one. We are doing all things tinned fish tonight. We are super lucky because Lauren from the Wild Fish Cannery in Alaska is going to join us in just a minute to tell us all about the life of a fish canner. Let me tell you a little bit about the cannery and then learn about that process and how sustainable it is. And she sent us some tinned fish to taste. So Tim Beat, Rich Collins, and I are going to cook and eat some delicious tinned fishes for you all on tonight's Fish Nerds podcast. Should be a blast. Let me jump right in and tell you a little bit about the cannery before we jump into this interview, because it's kind of interesting and cool. It's very small, which I find really, really cool about it. So this is what they sent me. Phyllis Mueller moved to Prince of Wales Island back in 1980, not knowing that she'd end up owning one of Alaska's best independently owned fish processing facilities. She started Wild Fish Cannery while employed with the Klawik School District as a bookkeeper, thinking it would be a great summer side hustle. But after the first year, it became clear that her future was in wild fish. A farm girl from Oregon, Phyllis grew up in a home where nearly everything from the family table was raised or grown on their own land or that of their neighbors. And although she had no formal culinary training, she brought an abundance of old world care to the tradition to wild fish. They lost Phyllis back in 2016, and Wild Fish was focused on custom processing, serving locals and visitors during the salmon season. That means if you caught fish, they would can it for you. Now, Matthew took over, and he's got a culinary background with the entire childhood's experience working at the plant in the summer. So he knew the business, but also saw a way to grow into e-commerce and the creation of a brand while preserving the integrity of what Phyllis had built. The rest of the tiny team, about 10 people, 10 employees across operations in the winter and 20 in the summer. And that is the whole thing. It's a very, very small operation. And Lauren's going to join us in just a minute here. And we're really excited about that. So stay tuned for that. We do have to pay a few bills, though, first. So let's do that first.
You are now listening to the world's most popular pop culture history podcast on Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and everywhere fine podcasts lurk. It's Podcast 42.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
I just went ding, ding, ding with my mouth.
Hello, this is Murder.
I don't know, Chris. Why don't you ask the animals?
I don't believe anyone has called you a tiny orange tonight. Like, little bitty ones, like pop them in your mouth and you're done.
We call it the Rambo Slambo.
But then again, it was all about me, and I love me, even dead me.
Oh, God. Because I need to endorse products that are family friendly. Like the Jell-O, like the orange Jell-O, like the yellow Jell-O, like the Jell-O jigglers, like the floop and the fleep and the fleep fleep flop.
Listen for free on Spreaker.com/podcast42.
All right. And we also have a new sponsor this month. This is a one-month sponsorship. And if we don't sell any of this product, they're not going to sponsor us anymore. So if you like the podcast, you might want to consider buying this product. Manscaped. Yeah, they're sponsoring us now. This is fun. Support for Manscaped is support for Fish Nerds is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I can't do this. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. And this is very exciting. They want me to talk about my experience with the trimmer. They sent me the Lawnmower 2000. The Lawnmower 3.0 is it called. Third-generation trimmer featuring cutting-edge ceramic blades, which reduces grooming accidents. They sent it to me along with some underwear and a t-shirt and some ball polish, which I haven't used yet, so I can't talk about my experience with it. I will tell you, though, I'm looking forward to doing some manscaping and seeing what kind of patterns I can shave into my body and then impressing my wife with it. I'm sure she'll never get tired of hearing me talking about shaving and polishing things. But Valentine's Day is coming up, and what a great opportunity for you to impress your significant other than with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. So it should be a lot of fun. If you want to get 20% off right now, you can do that by going to manscaped.com and using the code FISHNERDS. You get 20% off plus free shipping. And again, we get paid if we sell these, and Manscaped will keep sponsoring us. So this week sometime I'm supposed to actually try manscaping. I'll report back. I'm very afraid, very afraid, and very uncomfortable talking about it. So Manscaped, coupon code FISHNERDS. If you want them to sponsor us, make sure you go buy that. It's Valentine's Day is coming up. I mean, nothing says I love you like manscaping. I don't know. I can't believe it. Why am I doing this?
Okay. Hey, everyone. I love podcasts. Who's got recommendations? And send. That was quick.
Do you like comedy? What about movies? Pop culture.
Yeah.
Do you like animals? What about science?
Well, yeah.
Do you dig plants? What about writing, snacks, rambling, and rants?
Well,
filmmaking, improv, and interviews, Canadians, Australians, boating forecasts, and super views, ladies, gentlemen, cretins, or comic books, script reads, bad TV, heads that shook, perfectly big packages popping up, podcasts pointing people to discover other podcasts.
Yes?
Fantastic. Check out the Podfix Network. Podfixnetwork.com. At Podfix on Twitter. official_Podfix on the gram. Plus, check out Podfix Presents. Wherever fine podcasts are found. The Podfix Network. Artist owned and loved.
And we're happy to be part of the Podfix Network. We're new on the network, and that's how we're able to leverage getting sponsors like Manscaped with Lawnmower 3.0. So there you go. All right, let's get into this because I'm excited. Lauren's joining us now by Zoom to tell us all about Wildfish Cannery. So we're going to jump right in. Wildfishcannery.com for more information. Here's Lauren. Okay, fish nerds, we're super excited because we're joined by Lauren Mackey. And Lauren Mackey is from the Wildfish Cannery in Alaska. They're on a tiny little island in a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, and they're here with the fish nerds. And Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Nice
to
be
excited.
Here.
We're excited about this. I was telling you before we recorded that every year we do these tinned fish challenges, and we don't honor the tinned fish very well. Usually we get it the worst sounding thing we can. We open the can up and we eat it, and we don't honor it. So today we're going to do the rest of talk about your company, which is Wildfish Cannery, wildfishcannery.com, and then we're going to honor your seafood by cooking it properly, following recipes on your website, and then reviewing your product fairly, which we don't usually do. We're not usually fair, but we like you.
That's very kind of you. Although, it, in all fairness, you could also just eat it straight out of the can. We would not judge you if you did that.
Well,
we do that often.
I think we may. What's going to happen is after we get done talking to you, Rich Collins and Tim Beat and I are going to, we each are cooking a different can, but we may open the other two cans and do a tasting without cooking them.
You may eat it before it gets added as an ingredient into anything.
I hope so. Cause I'm making the octopus dip for with the French fries. So I'm super excited.
The octo mayo with the nori fries.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I haven't made that myself yet, but our photographer told us that as soon as he was done shooting those lovely photos that he does for us, he ate the entire thing. So you're in for a treat with that.
I can't wait. We're going to follow it with fidelity. But first, let's talk about the cannery. I want to talk about, you know, all things canning fish. We usually talk about how to catch fish on the show. So canning fish is interesting. And what I like about your company is its size. I like that you're just doing it all by hand. You're hand cutting all the fish. And you do everything in the company, even though you're kind of, you told me you're a chief executive marketing director, president, a minute ago, you were giving me a title, and you also get your hands dirty.
I do. Yeah. I joined Wildfish as someone who worked on the processing line. I'm actually, my family are commercial fishermen. So I first met Matthew Scaletta, our owner, and came to know Wildfish and what they were doing because we were selling part of our catch to Wildfish every summer. Then I needed to subsidize my income on the days I wasn't fishing. So I started working at the plant. Now I do everything from help our marketing team, edit newsletters, answer Facebook inquiries, make sure there are no broken links on our website, go help the fulfillment center stuff cans and packages and getting those ready for shipments on days where we're a little understaffed. So yeah, it's my work is spread out over a lot of different departments. So
pretty much whatever needs to get done, you're kind of the person they go, hey, Lauren, do that thing.
Yeah, and we're a small team. So any given day, someone else is doing that exact same thing.
That's perfect. And how long have you been with the company?
Oh, gosh. Two full salmon seasons, which is the summer. When we say salmon season, it's the summer months. So I'm actually going into my third salmon season.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but Alaska doesn't measure their dates and years. It's all by fishing seasons.
Yes, correct.
The calendars are very fun to look at.
What are those?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And you've been in Alaska your whole life?
I have, yep. Born and raised.
That's amazing.
On Prince of Wales Island. Yep.
Wow. So just like a born and raised island person.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. And you said you were a commercial fisherman. Before we get into the cannery, I'm kind of curious about your commercial fishing days. What did you fish for?
Salmon. Yeah, I grew up, my dad trolled when I grew up, mm-hmm. which is a hook and line fishery. And then we currently gill net, mm-hmm. drift net fish. All species of salmon, though. Trolling targets, mainly there's a big king salmon
Chinooks,
yeah. Part of the summer, silver coho, some pink salmon, gill netting targets.
Everything.
Everything. Hopefully we get some king salmon. King salmon, they don't tend to travel in schools, so you can't rely on catching them in mass. So we'll get king every once in a while, but the other four species, main species of salmon, we haul in. So we gill net June through October every year.
Well, that's fun. I spent my childhood fishing for salmon up in Nia Bay in Washington State when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And we would troll for the big Chinook salmon and have such a fun time with it. So it's a neat thing that you did. So now you're working at the cannery, and that's where you're at now. And and your cannery really focuses on locally sourced, local to Alaska sourced seafood and small batches bought right from the fisher people. Mm-hmm. And you guys actually can them yourself. It's not a big giant processing plant. You guys...
Not at all. We are in the same small facility that we started out in 1980. We've added a few. I call it the Wildfish Campus. Mm-hmm. It's just this delightful. It reminds me of like something out of an RPG video game. You know, the warrior wanders through the trees into the village, and there are all these little buildings, and one houses the cans, the other is the fulfillment center, which is really, you know, just this tiny little room. The biggest building on the property is the cannery and the smokery. Mm-hmm. There's another little shack where we keep all of our broke down boxes. It's just it's a really, it's a really fun, charming place to be, because it definitely is representative of that, kind of traditional homegrown culture that's so very much a part of, the island communities in Southeast Alaska that end up churning out, you know, this premium product as far as their seafood goes.
And how is the company doing? Is the company strong?
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting talking about it in the context of COVID, but we were, you know, doing well for, we've been doing well the last five or six years since our current owner, Matthew Scullins. It was his grandmother's business, and she had a wonderful, you know, tenure operating, mainly doing custom processing for locals and visitors to the island. And it truthfully, it could have carried on being, you know, just a custom processing plant. Matthew.
When you say custom processing, you mean like someone comes to Alaska on vacation, they catch a bunch of Chinooks. Now what do? They bring them to your, what's your name again?
Sorry?
What was her name again?
Her name is Phyllis Mueller.
They bring it to Phyllis and say, Phyllis, put these in cans, and they can bring them home with them. Is that what custom processing is? Is that?
That is absolutely what custom processing is. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. 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 But Matthew saw the opportunity to, you know, grow the business, but also, you know, here, grow the business here, give locals, you know, some other options as far as those custom processing options goes, but also to expand our reach, introduce ourselves to a wider consumer base. And so he got a website up and running. We now have a great e-commerce website, wildfishcannery.com. You can order our entire product line there. So that growth was already happening at a pretty manageable pace. And then here comes COVID. Suddenly people are at home. I don't know if they've just got more time on their hands or they're eager to stock their pantries with non-perishables, but business just exploded. And we were just kind of slingshot out into the e-commerce world. And now we're, you know, just it's all we can do to have things in stock.
Good.
Yeah. So business is doing great. We're very pleased.
Well, that's
and
good.
A little tired.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to hire the whole island to work for you. Now, can you tell me about the island culture? So you're on a small island, Prince Edward? No,
Prince of Wales. Prince of yeah. Wales. There's a lot of princes. Prince of Wales Island. Yep. Yeah.
And what's the culture like? Is it, it's a fishing culture, I'm assuming. And what's the, is the industry all in that whole island fishing?
Yeah, there are, the island itself is quite large. It's the biggest in Southeast Alaska. There are, there's a handful of communities on Prince of Wales Island, all of which support their own community-based fishery. I actually live in, the largest town on the island, Craig. There's about 1500 people. Kloak, where Wildfish is located, is about 700 people. So these are all pretty small communities, but very much, you know, actively involved in and supporting the fisheries that are around here. So there's salmon fishereies, long lining fisheries, so black cod, halibut. There's a really cool fishery called, for those who don't know, the gooey duck dive fishery.
There aren't many of them.
There's one in Sitka. There's one out on Prince Wales Island, and there's one outside of Ketchikan. And you know, even aside from the commercial fisheries, subsistence fishing is a huge part of people's lives around here. So when you talk about the culture, it's a culture that's very much connected to the relationship with the natural world and with salmon and the harvests and those non-calendar seasons.
What do you do during that time?
You kind of alluded to earlier.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. My folks lived in Juneau, Alaska after I finished high school. My whole family left. I lived in New Jersey. And they left New Jersey and went to Juneau, Alaska.
Without
me. They left me behind. I was, you know, 18. it was right before I graduated high school. So the choice was finish high school where I'm at or go to Juneau, you know, halfway through my senior year of high school. And
oh man, I'm sorry.
How do you make that choice? And you're 18 years old. You stay in your high school because you want to finish what you're doing. And they left me behind. And they were there for 6 or 7 years. I never made it once to visit Alaska. It's one of my big life regrets not going.
You still haven't been?
No. And it's funny because my dad was the commanding officer of a Coast Guard base up there of Juneau. And what he did, well, I was working at a deli in New Jersey after high school. And one day these two enlisted Coast Guard kids came in with a giant cooler. And they said, is Mr. Groves here? And I'm like, yeah, it's me. I'm Clay. And I was like, you know, I was 18. And they said, they gave me the salute and they put the cooler down and they walked out. And I opened it up and it was full of halibut and that my dad had caught the day before in Alaska. And he had them bring it to New Jersey on a Coast Guard helicopter.
Oh my gosh.
I was working on. And I was 18. I had no idea what to even do with this giant cooler of halibut. So
I was going
to
say, what did you do with it?
We had
all that fresh fish.
Yeah, we just breaded it and dropped it in the fryer where we've been cooking French fries all day. We had no idea what to do with it. It was so good. But I didn't have any money. I couldn't go to Alaska. So I still haven't done it. It's on my bucket list.
Is your family still there?
No, they're in Port Angeles, Washington now.
Okay.
So, and I get out there once in a while, and we'll get up to Vancouver Island. Mm-hmm. But Alaska's a little further away, although it has its feel, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, my big regret to not get to experience all the real Alaska, you know.
Life's not over. Life's not over, Clay, but life is short. So add that back to the top of your to-do list, please.
Well, I will, and I'll visit your island and come check out your cannery when I'm up there,
yes,
too, because that'd be really fun. Maybe when I get big Fish Nerd sponsors, they can pay for my travel fees to,
there you go.
To visit all
you can places. Stay on the Wild Fish campus.
Oh, I'd be in. I'd be so in. And it's funny because I also worked as a commercial crabber in Washington for just a very short time.
Okay, so you got some sea legs.
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm a fishing guide here in New Hampshire, but it's not the same as, not even close to what you guys are doing up there. So I don't want to compare. You know, I didn't like it. So.
Not saying I liked it. Saying I did it.
I want to talk about gooey duck because I've seen these animals in real life. And they are big, gruesome clams.
Just they are.
Gross.
Offensive.
Yeah, they're very offensive, very phallic looking. I can't think of a more offensive looking animal. And I want to know, like, when you first saw one of these, did you think, yeah, I'm going to eat that thing?
I'm revealing a lot here. I think it just comes with like kind of being immersed in what goes on here, not actively immersed, but like it's going on around you. So you're not really paying attention to it. So admittedly, I had never seen, and we're salmon fishermen. And sometimes your fishery is your fishery. Mm-hmm. I had never seen a gooey duck. I'd eaten one. I'd never actually seen it, until a few years ago. And, I yeah, I really didn't have any words. I could not believe that thing existed below the surface of the water.
It's amazing. Now, listeners aren't going to be able to see this, but you are blushing as you think about gooey duck.
For all of you listeners at home, go and Google gooey duck.
Yeah, I might put it on the...
I don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah, it looks like a big wiener. That's it. Huge. It's a monster. That's all it is. Now, in Port Angeles, Washington, there are statues of gooey ducks around town. So, like, some people...
Is there really?
It really is, yeah. So, yeah, you walk downtown, there's statues of all kinds of stuff, including gooey ducks. Where my dad keeps the marina, where my dad's boat is, there's a gooey duck statue. And it's just as gross as a statue.
So, well...
Yeah.
You know what? It's deserved of some recognition,
it's
though.
Plus, you know, we're going to kill it and eat it. We must give him a statue.
Right, right.
So your gooey duck is smoked gooey duck.
Yes.
Right? And yeah. I imagine they're huge animals. So out of one gooey duck, how many cans do you think you get?
Oh, gosh. See, I knew you were going to ask me a question like this that I wouldn't be able to answer.
You could make it up. We wouldn't know.
You know, they can grow up to, 3-4 feet long, I've mm-hmm. heard. But most of the gooey duck that we process is, I would say maybe you're eating the whole thing. We remove the shell. Mm-hmm. How graphic is this supposed to get?
You can go, we are rated R if you want, so it's okay.
Okay. You remove the shell. And I'm trying to remember, and gooey duck is, we're processing salmon all year. Mm-hmm. Gooey duck is a very small fishery. Like I said, there's only a few places around the region that harvest gooey duck. And so we don't process it all the time. Mm-hmm. I've only ever worked on the line once when we were processing it. And so I'm trying to remember, but I think we use the whole animal. We toss the shell, obviously, but I think we use the whole animal.
Oh, good.
I remember correctly, yeah.
That's good. So. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd ever eat one. If I saw one in the wild, if I ever just go for it or not, but I think maybe I wouldn't. But
no.
Some things you just kind of avoid. All right. And so you have gooey duck and you have octopus. And octopus are caught as a bycatch in Alaska.
They are.
Yeah,
there's we work with one fisherman, one small boat fisherman who he works at the pot cod fishery up in the Bering Sea, Captain mm-hmm. Dustin Dickerson. Mm-hmm.
A great name.
Right. Interestingly enough, there is no commercial octopus fishery in the state of Alaska. And so all octopus caught is deemed bycatch, and it is then primarily sold for bait, which is egregious in our opinion.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
bait for what? So we can for crab pots and stuff. I mean, what are they really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awful.
But we can, you know, we can, make use of, you know, this premium product, and we can, small boat fishermen, you know, better than they could get the product for, as bait. And so, it's a good relationship that we have with them, and we like odd things, and it's another fun, odd seafood that we can add to our line.
Yeah, I've handled octopus before. My uncle and I used to go crabbing for Dungeness crabs out in Port Angeles, Washington, and the octopus would get in, not crabs, we were going shrimping, in the big mm-hmm. the big tiger shrimp, and yeah. the octopus would get in the shrimp pots and eat the shrimps, and he would pull the octopus out and cut him open and get the shrimp out of the octopus and then eat the octopus and the shrimp. Like, he was like, they're not getting my shrimp. Like, he was
not getting me shrimp. And then he's, you know, nothing goes to waste. There we go. That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
But he hated them. He got so mad at octopuses. And I was like,
they're crafty.
They are so smart. They are. They're so smart. And I know people who won't eat octopus because of how smart they are.
Yes. My mother, including one person.
Well, you should tell her the smarter the animal, the better they taste. Like, how good is bacon, right? And pigs are
smart. Man, you're right.
Yeah. Right? So wait. We're talking about eating octopus, and do you eat a lot of canned octopus?
I eat no canned octopus. I not because I feel any particular way about octopus. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try a can of everything, you know, as an employee. Mm-hmm. I don't get it for free, you know. Matthew, are you listening? I don't get it for free.
So. No, you don't get free options.
We go catch our salmon, and we'll bring our salmon to Wild Fish, and that's what I eat. And
well, I mean, the salmon is so good. We have here in New Hampshire, we have Atlantic salmon, which is such a different animal. And it's my parents, you know, who catch chinooks all the time, won't even look at Atlantic salmon. They just see that and they're just like, yeah, no, that's not a fish. Like, what are you doing? So it's such a different.
I've never had Atlantic salmon. I mean, I never even really ate Pacific salmon outside of the state of Alaska. I'm not to sound snobby or anything, but
why would you?
But yeah. Why would you? Well, you would if it's, you know, if you know, it's sourced, you know, mm-hmm. In a way that preserves the integrity of the fish, the integrity of the meat. But mostly I'm just like, I grew up eating salmon. I'm in the lower 48 now. What else you got for me? I don't need to eat salmon while I'm down here.
Yeah. Give me a steak. All right. So you're in Alaska, you're working at the cannery. And one of the things we do a lot of with the Fish Nerds is we talk about sustainable fishing. We don't support unsustainable fishing practices, and we won't have a product on our show that's not sourced well. How do you control that side of the business? How do you make sure that what you're serving is sustainable mm-hmm. seafood?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got it easy. The state of Alaska and our fisheries management system is kind of a model for fisheries management systems all over the world. We have sustainability actually written into our state constitution.
Good.
In the 50s when we became a state. We made sure that the fisheries were going by law, the fisheries were going to be managed in a way that ensured sustainable harvest methods, that the amount of fish determined in the ocean, the biomass, they call it, would always be far more than what they call the total allowable catch. So you have science and research based information that is helping the fisheries regulate the harvest. All Alaska seafood is, or I should say, most Alaska seafood is wild caught. There are some shellfish farms in the state of Alaska, but as far as like with finned fish fisheries, those were banned in the 90s. And so you have a guaranteed wild product, which in and of itself, you know, asks that you are supporting the kinds of practices that ensure that the environment that the resource is in is healthy, and that the practices, that the sustainable practices are supporting the health of the environment as well. So we have to do very little beyond saying that we source from Alaskan waters.
Right. And you're mostly getting your stuff right on the docks right there and the boats come in. You're getting
all of our product comes from these small boat community-based fisheries in our salmon from Southeast Alaska. And then, we may source some from, the Copper River area, if I remember correctly, the fisheries in the Copper River area. And then our octopus from Dustin in the Bering Sea, and then our gooey duck from the local fleet here. Yeah. The
local gooey duck divers.
Right. Also, for those at home who can't see, Clay is looking at the Alaskan, the midnight sun on the opposite end of the calendar. I'm slowly getting darker, so I'm glad that people aren't watching.
I was noticing how dark it was there. So yeah, it's funny, it's only 4:30 where you are. It's 8:30 where I'm at. So that's really great. And so I've enjoyed talking to you. And so this is wildfishcannery.com. If they want to get this, you'll ship it to anywhere.
Anywhere domestically, yes. Yes.
Anywhere domestically. And they should get it because it's sustainable. It's supporting a really small business in Alaska. All right. So you've been in Alaska your whole life, right?
Yes.
All right. What is your favorite? I'm personal now. I can ask you. What's your favorite thing about Alaska?
My favorite thing about Alaska, actually, I was literally thinking about this afternoon. At any moment you can look out the window at the landscape around you, and it is so dynamic. The everything from the light to the wind. You look at the layers of the trees and the mountains and the water, and you never look at the changes, and it kind of reminds you that you're in this super, like I said, super dynamic world that's so alive. Yeah. And it's a really cool place to be. It's a really cool place to work, and it's fun to know that the work that we're doing is supporting the world that you see when you look out the window.
Well, it is great. And thank you so much for coming on the Fish Nerds. We're excited about this. And that's Lauren from the Wild Fish Cannery, wildfishcannery.com. Lauren, you've been a delight tonight.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Fish Nerds, I'm so excited because, first of all, you just heard an interview with Lauren from the Wild Fish Cannery, wildfishcannery.com. And she was just a delight. I feel like maybe she and I have something special together now, and but she was a real delight, and we're so glad to have her. And she sent us some tinned fish to try. So tonight we're joined by Rich Collins, our fly fishing correspondent.
Howdy.
And Tim Beat, our effing essayist. Tim, I should have thought of an easier title for you than that. It's really hard to say.
It's a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister. And they sent us each three cans of tinned fish, but they didn't give us each the exact three cans. Tim, what'd you get?
I got salmon, smoked salmon, and smoked gooey duck, and smoked herring.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Rich, what did you get?
I got smoked salmon, smoked gooey duck, and smoked octopus.
So I got the same as you, Rich. Okay. And so we all picked one to cook for tonight. I noticed that nobody chose to cook the salmon tonight. First of all, why did we not choose salmon?
It's a heavy day. Yeah, you can eat that right out of the can, which I intend to do.
Yeah, yeah. There's no surprises when it comes to Chinook smoked Chinook salmon. It's going to be good, right?
Although my can is open right here, and it does not look like the crap you get in the grocery store at all, that pink, like, smush. This is beautiful.
Well, one of the things that we heard this during Lauren's interview is, in this cannery, this is a hand processing plant, which means those fish come down the line, they're cutting them with knives on cutting boards and hand packing them into cans. So every piece of gooey duck you might have touched, or octopus you might have touched, or herring, that was cut by hand. So there's a lot of personal touch in your food.
I have not
food.
Been touching my gooey duck.
If you had seen my gooey duck this morning, you would not touch it either.
I chopped my gooey duck up.
Oh, man. It is the gooey duck is the grossest looking animal I've ever seen.
But in the can, it wasn't. It looked fine. Looked no. like protein.
No. So what we're going to do is we've each recorded a cooking segment. I'm going to mix that into here. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to do a live tasting of a fish right out of the can. So I thought maybe we'd do that first up. Get that smoked fish out of the can tasting done. Then talk about our experience cooking whatever fish we chose to cook. Sound good?
Sweet.
So, sounds good.
So what are you tasting, Rich? I'll let you do that first.
All right. So I have right here, let's start nice and easy, the smoked salmon. And I've smoked things before. I have a smoker. This is beautiful. It's got beautiful color. It's giant chunks of real fish. It looks great. So
can you show us?
Oh, on the old screen.
I feel like I can smell it.
How to dump salmon juice into your computer keyboard. No, I'm not going to show anymore. But yeah, they're beautiful whole chunks. It's not like processed or pureed. Oh, it's really good. And they must use real smoke, real hardwood too, because I can smell it.
I think they use hickory.
Ooh, hickory. So how are we doing this? Should I just chow on some?
Yeah, can you know, take a forkful or something and show us, and then taste it and tell us your thoughts.
So I'm not a huge fan of salmon in particular, farmed salmon. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guess this isn't farmed.
This is wild fish. They pick all these up at the docks on the little island there. So this is all hand caught.
I can see the color if it's not from the smoke, but it looks really good. Mmm. It is really good. Nice and salty. Caramely. Yeah, that is high quality salmon.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to do this with chewing, but.
No, you did great. Now, those are Chinook or King salmon is what you're tasting.
And they are yummy.
Yeah. I used to live out in Washington State, and we used to go out fishing for these Chinook salmon, and they are just like the gold standard of like how salmon should taste. Us East Coasters with Atlantic salmon really have no idea how fish are supposed to taste. So, all right, Tim, what are you tasting?
I am tasting the salmon as well. And as Rich said, it's gorgeous in the can. I was really surprised when I opened it, but it's just beautiful. And unlike Rich, I love salmon, especially smoked salmon. Oh, it's good.
It's a winner.
The texture, mm-hmm. it's not mushy at all.
It's nothing like that pureed goop.
No, and it's not over smoked. The smoke is just in there, but it's not overpowering the fish at all. Yep. Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, that sounds great. Now, first of all, Tim, also, what are you drinking with your fish now? What are you pairing it with?
Drinking it with a Dark Horse Merlot.
Nice. And Rich, how about you?
Red wine with fish.
I know, that's weird, but it is smoked salmon, so.
Great Rhythm Double Squeeze, Portsmouth, New Hampshire zone.
Nice. And I have a highball in a Angler's pint glass.
Ooh, well, I should have got mine.
You're right, Clay. Normally they say, you know, do you drink white wine? But I find with things that are smoked like this, it's so meaty. Yeah, I don't think a white wine would really hold up to it.
No, I think with the smoked salmon, red's the way to go. So I'm tasting the gooey duck. Smoked. Where's my fingers here? Smoked gooey duck tonight.
Insert penis joke.
Yes, I know. I mean, these things just look the most phallic looking thing ever. So There it is, right there.
Mm. In the can there, sliced. When I cooked mine, I was like, thank God it's not all swirled in there.
I don't know how they fit that whole thing in there. These are like the giantest wangs ever. So, I mean, the animal with the biggest penis on earth is the gooey duck.
Sliced wang.
Sliced wang. So I'm going to taste that huge chunk of smoked gooey duck right now.
You know, so the pieces in that can are really big, aren't they?
They are really big, and so are the gooey ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must slice the schlong. Yep. And you know, it's nice and clean. That's the thing I notice. Like, there's no, like, sometimes you get canned clams and there's gook in them and, you know, sand and black bits. That was really clean looking.
You know what this tastes like? It tastes like the West Coast. Like, it reminds me of when I used to go fishing and eating on the beach out in Washington
State.
Briny.
Yeah, it's briny. It's like brine and.
It's fresh tasting.
Now, how is it compared to, like, East Coast steamers that you would have?
I don't like steamers.
I don't either.
At all. But you like this?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think you were right. Rich, I think we just had just the right amount of smoke. It wasn't, it's not hairy. It's not overpowering. It's good.
Yeah, I think they use real wood because a lot of places will use smoke flavoring or smoke salt.
Or pellets or something, yeah. But this is really good. And I honestly, like, compared to our previous tin fish nights.
Well, we were going for something different this time. I know, vomiting.
I know. I do think we should still keep doing those things. But holy smokes, what a nice treat it is to open a can of food and taste it and have it taste like food.
Yeah, this stuff's kind of ultra premium. I'm starting to figure out. This is like you said, hand done, pretty nice stuff. Not everyday kind of.
And we should make sure we thank them for sending us those things there. Thank you, Wildfish Cannery.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And the fact that nobody's vomiting on the table is a good sign.
That's a win, a total win. So really good. And so what I'm going to do now is, so coming up now, we're going to play the actual cooking of our tinned fishes. Rich Collins cooked gooey duck. I cooked octopus. And Tim Beat cooked herring. And after you hear how we cooked them, then we will come back together and we will eat them. And it will be a delightful thing.
Hey, fish nerds. This is Rich. I'm in my kitchen in a snowy New Hampshire morning. Well, actually, it's afternoon. It's 12:30. So morning for me, afternoon for the rest of the people in the world. I am making my first recipe from our canned fish, or in this case, canned gooey duck. I have some smoked gooey duck from Wildfish Cannery in Alaska. I'm going to pop that open. I'm going to make a recipe off their website and see how gooey duck is. To my knowledge, I've never had it. It's an amusing bivalve. I think it's a bivalve. It's huge, and it looks like a giant wiener. So the jokes can flow in at any time now. I've got some pasta bubbling here. I'm going to cook up some al dente Italian pasta. I've got garlic. I fresh cut some garlic. I've got parsley. Got some olive oil. Got some butter. And I've got this nice, lovely can of gooey duck. Can't wait to get into it. Okay, so I just strained out the flesh or the meat of the gooey duck into one of my wife's teacups, very fine china teacup, because it's funny. And the smell is, I won't say it's gross, I won't say it's good. I got a smoky, fishy, but not lovely odor emanating from the juices of the smoked gooey duck. Next thing I'm going to do is chop up these little guys. They're pretty big. They're about 2 inches long, the strips. And I'm going to chop them into little tiny, kind of like chopped clams to put in the pasta. Just got to chopping clams. I use a cleaver because why not? And they're pretty nice. It chops up nice into little tiny chunks, almost like chopped clams that you'd get in an Italian restaurant in a, you know, clam linguine and clam sauce dish. I gave some a taste, and you know what? They taste really good. It just tastes kind of like a clam, maybe not as strong as a clam, but definitely it has been smoked. You can taste the smoke without a doubt. So next up, we're going to assemble the recipe and try it all together. All right, the butter is sizzling, about to throw the garlic in it. From there, we're going to just give the garlic a little color. then it's time to throw in the gooey duck. And then after it kind of all mingles in the oil, we put in the gooey duck broth. Reduce it about half, throw in a little bit of white wine, some lemon, toss the pasta and parsley, and we're done. I just plated my dish. Looks beautiful in a beautiful pasta bowl. Looks like a linguine with clam sauce, except I didn't use linguine. I used spirals, but same idea. Garlic, chopped clam, parsley, a little lemon, pepper. I put some Aleppo pepper on mine. I like just a little spice. And I'm curious if I should put some Parmesan because of the smoke. I don't know if Parmesan would be a hit or not. But ready to go. I have some beautiful pictures. And to conclude, smoked gooey duck on pasta is delicious.
Hello, Fishners. Clay Groves here in my kitchen doing a little cooking tonight. We're making a recipe off of the Wild Fish Canneries website. The recipe is the smoked octopus mayo with nori fries. So I'm looking forward to making this. And the first two ingredients are octopus and mayo. So I went out to my yard and hassled my chickens and stole a couple of eggs from them, whipped up my own homemade mayonnaise, because that's how I roll. And then I opened this can of octopus, took a taste, because Lauren told me to taste my octopus before I cooked it. And I did, and it tasted delicious. That was just surprising, because usually octopus can be tough and hard to eat, and this was really a delight. That smokiness really comes through. So I put it on the food processor, and now the game is turn those hunks of octopus arms into minced octopus with their juice. So I'm doing that now. I'm going to pulse it. And it just looks like a nightmare. I'm like, I'm making chum. Oh, my God. And later, I'm going to put this in my mouth. And that's it. It's all mushed up in there. I'm going to fold that into the mayo. You don't want to put the mayo in the food processor because you don't want to mess with the emulsification. I don't know what that means. But you do that. And then I'm going to make some French fries. Check one, two. Okay, so the recipe calls for russet potatoes, nice big fat russet potatoes, and it asks you to skin them to make your French fries. I don't like to do that. I like to skin on my French fries, but you do you, I'll do me. And we're going to do is fry these up and then sprinkle nori, which is seaweed, a salted seaweed, on top of them for a little bit of flavor, dip them in the mayo, and that's really the whole recipe. It's pretty simple. Fry these in hot oil, 375 degrees, lots of salt and deliciousness. You're good to go. All right, I've got a good fry going on here. Nice and bubbly oil, 375 degrees. Got a handful of these fries in there. We're going to fry them until they're golden brown. That's really the whole recipe. We're going to put them on a nice plate. We're going to crumble up some of that seaweed on top of it. And then put a little nice little bowl of that octopus, smoked octopus mayo. And boom, we got it. And that's going to be the whole thing. Looks delicious. Okay. Check one, two. Okay. So, got our nori fries and smoked octopus mayo all put together. Zoe's joining me now. Hi, Zoe.
Hello.
For people who don't know, Zoe is our chief kid correspondent, now 13 years old, been with the podcast since, seven?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, one of our longest correspondents here. Yeah. So, what do you see on the plate here, Zoe?
I see French fries, that stuff.
Mayonnaise.
And seaweed.
And seaweed, and that's all it is. And in that mayonnaise, I blended up some octopus.
Okay.
This is Tim Beat, and today I'm making smoked herring sliders with spring greens and a mango scotch bonnet pepper sauce. Clay and Rich did an amazing job cooking their dishes in their kitchens, and I wanted to up the ante, so I'm cooking my dish while single-handedly sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. I've never eaten herring before, and I'm super excited about this dish. Plus, most of my food fell overboard, and I am really hungry. First, I'm going to grill my slider buns using ghee. Ghee is a type of clarified butter, and it has an amazing taste. But I don't have a grill on my boat, so I'm going to have to use a blowtorch. Look at those buns brown. Beautiful. Next, I have to open the can of herring. But I don't have a can opener, so I'm going to have to use my pistol to open it. Boy, that herring smells wonderful. Now I'm going to drain the canned herring over the side of the boat, which I hope doesn't attract any sharks. Herring is a fatty fish and very healthy. It has more omega-3 fatty acids than either salmon or tuna. And if you've heard of kippers, which are whole smoked herring, the wild fish cannery herring is pretty similar. Next, I'm going to make our sauce. I'm combining plain Greek yogurt with mango scotch bonnet hot sauce. The hot sauce is bright orange with small red flecks in it, and it's my favorite. You can really taste the mango. Scotch bonnet peppers measure in at about 100,000 to 350,000 on the Scoville heat unit scale. In comparison, a jalapeno pepper averages about 5,000 Scoville heat units. But this hot sauce is really not that hot. It has great flavor without the heat overpowering you. Oh, it looks like the buns have been nicely browned by the blowtorch. Now I'm putting some spring greens on the bottom bun as a base. That keeps the moisture from the herring from making the bun soggy. Next comes the herring, then the mango scotch bonnet sauce, and finally another layer of greens to keep the top bun dry and crunchy. Hey! Hey, you seagulls, get away from my sliders! Take that, you feathered thieves! The 6-inch can of herring will make 2 or 3 sliders, depending on how much fish you want on each slider. And I shot one of the seagulls, so I know what I'll be having for breakfast tomorrow morning.
Never mind. All right, so let's do a tasting of our actual food and talk about our thoughts on these things. Who wants to go first? Do you want to take it, Rich?
Sure. So I'm from Central New York, and we had linguine with clam sauce. Very simple recipe: chopped clams, linguine, parsley, lemon, maybe some Parmesan. And in New England, I can't find a good linguine with clam, so I got the recipe off their site, Gooey Duck, which is a clam, I guess, with just pasta. So I made a very simple pasta dish. It doesn't look good in the bowl here now because I didn't plate it for presentation, but I took the gooey duck, which are like nice chunks. I chopped them all up. I made pasta, garlic, olive oil, parsley, lemon, mixed it all together. And let's see, I put a little bit of Aleppo pepper in it because I like spice. So it looks great. It looks like any chopped clam dish. So let's try. The smoke is really unique. The clams taste, or the gooey duck tastes kind of like normal clams, but the smoke, a little more bite on the clam than a typical dish. There is some substance to that gooey duck. Really good, though. That is really good.
And what kind of pepper was that on there, Rich?
Aleppo, A-L-E-P-P-O. I love it. It's hot, but it's not super spicy out. It doesn't burn your eyeballs out. So I put that on kind of everything that I can. It's got nice color. It adds nice texture, and it just gives it some warm. It's kind of just a little hotter than black pepper. Aleppo.
It looks great.
Oh, yeah. That is good. I'd eat that all day.
All right, Tim, let's see yours. Oh, I'll let you know, Tim, you're going to go last. I changed mine. Because your recipe is coming up, you came up last on the playthrough earlier, so I'm going to go next, and then you will go. I lost my Zoom link here for a second. Oh, there I am. All right, so Tim, I'm going to go next, and then I'm going to let you go. So I made I forgot what I called it earlier.
Nori fries with octo mayo.
I made nori fries with octo mayo.
I know what you made because I was looking at it going, damn.
There it is.
Good.
So I've got French fries, right? Which, there they are. Nice little bag of French fries. And those are topped with salt, sea salt, of course, and chopped nori, which is dried seaweed, salted seaweed. And then I have a dip that is just mayo and octopus blended together. And I made the mayo from scratch, and the octopus I took out of the can. So
from eggs, you made the mayo handmade aioli?
Because I have chickens, and so I have an abundance of eggs.
And beautiful.
I don't have an abundance of mayonnaise, and I've never made mayonnaise before tonight. It's my first time making it, and
it's delicious.
It's delicious, and it's easy. Like, yeah. There's nothing to it, and now I want to make all kinds of aiolis and experiment. Aioli. So here we go. We're going to dip this fry into the octo dip. Get a nice big gooey hunk of that on there.
Gooey hunk.
Mmm. That is good. Wow.
I want to know how you pureed or what you did with the octopus to make it mayo friendly. Oh. Did you beat it with a stick or?
I just yelled at it until it was embarrassed and then you got right in
fell
there.
Apart. Mm.
That was, wow. That was good. And it was funny. I was talking to Wild Fish Cannery earlier. They were telling me that a lot of people just make that dip and just grab a spoon and eat it. So. Which I'm not going to do because it tastes good, but spoonfuls of mayonnaise, no matter what's in it, is too much for me. I can't do that. But that's delicious. I'm going to have one more. Tim, you're up. I'm going to eat while you talk.
Well, Clay, your dish is the perfect side dish for what I made. So I made smoked herring sliders, which I think would go great with those fries. And I put some spring greens on there, toasted up the buns with ghee. And then I made a sauce.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Wait. Isn't a gi the white jacket that karate kids wear?
Yeah, and it's really hard to chop up. So gi is a kind of clarified butter.
Okay.
It's you cook it down, and it's a different taste than butter. It's similar, but it's kind of intense. We use it when we're grilling, making grilled cheese or grilling any kind of buns.
It has no lactose left in it, right? They take the milk solids out.
Right.
You get it hotter.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it turns it into a kind of a paste. And then I made a sauce for this out of plain Greek yogurt and mango scotch bonnet pepper sauce.
Oh, my God.
My thought was the herring's pretty fatty, so I think you need some acidity in there to kind of match it. And Scott bonnet peppers are particularly hot, but this sauce isn't too bad. So I can show them to you.
Those look delicious. Wow.
Wow, that herring is like nice color too.
I'll tell you what, it's gorgeous in the can. As you said, Rich, with the salmon, it has the skin on it. The same, kind of a similar smoky smell to it. So I'm going to just bite into one of these.
Those look really good.
They're killer.
So good.
And I've never had herring before. It's one of my favorite fish, I think.
Yeah. No,
it's just amazing.
Now, listeners can't see this, but Tim is actually crying.
He's weeping.
He's weeping with joy. Yeah. Yeah, I got to say, like, of all of our tin fish challenges, this one might not have been the most fun, but it was definitely the most delicious.
It was, at least we could look forward to it and enjoy it, unlike the other ones.
The other ones, I know.
This fish is so good. This is the type of thing where I would buy it for a holiday. I mean, it's not inexpensive,
right.
But the quality is so gourmet. I would definitely try out some of these other recipes. It's just ridiculously good. I've never had anything out of a can from a fish standpoint that was even close to this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's a Boston restaurant called Salty Girl, and all they served is tinned fish in that restaurant. It's all gourmet tinned fish. And we should, after the pandemic, we should make a trip down there, Rich, and see if we can get a free meal out of them and record a live show there.
Mm, yeah, I looked at their site. They're having some COVID issues. They kind of got rid of some of the tinned fish, I think, and they're just trying to get by.
Just so, trying to survive. That's why I said when COVID's over, we'll try to check
it. Perfect COVID food, but I guess, you know, it's a little expensive for going out.
It is. But, you know, it's funny because I've never thought about tinned fish as a gourmet, high-quality food until, like, now. So I think Tim is on the button.
Right
where, like,
now.
Because I thought tinned fish is all going to be, like, just, you know, sardines and crap that Grandpa ate, you know, and you open the sardines up, you take a crappy, gross sardine, put it on a pretzel and squirt some mustard on it, and you shove it in your face and you fart, and that was it. So
it's like the beans of the seafood world.
That's been my
experience.
I think
Europeans have a Spanish tapas and things like that use a higher grade of tinned fish.
Well, the difference is this is being canned by hand. They're not making 15 million cans of it a day, and you can tell in the quality.
You really can. I mean, it's well done. It's not all squishy and minced. Now, I used to work at a cannery. Do you guys know this?
No. Mm-mm. Oh, my God.
Do you want me to tell you about the worst job I ever had?
It's my worst nightmare.
So when I was a kid living in New Jersey, I was 18 years old. I just got back from England. I spent all my life savings trying to chase a girl in England. That didn't work out. When I say life savings, I mean like my dozens of dollars I saved up in high school.
And it worked out. You're fine now.
I got back to New Jersey. I was working at a deli, which means I was making cheesesteaks, you know, 12 hours a day and having a fine time, you know. And in Cape May, Wildwood area of New Jersey, it's a summer economy only. There's no winter economy. Everything shuts down for the winter, and I lost my job making cheesesteaks, and I had to go find some work. And the only place that was hiring was McDonald's, and I was too good for McDonald's. And the other place hiring was the local cannery, which I thought I was not too good for. So I went to the cannery and I got a job shucking clams. And the way that works is you get there at 4 a.m, and that's when the boats come in. And you're in this giant room, and the other employees there are Pakistani migrant workers who make fun of anyone with no mustache and call you little girl, which is what they called me. People on prison release programs, and then me. Little Clay from New Jersey. So
who's too good for the management track at McDonald's.
I was too good for McDonald's. And here's how you get paid. You have a 5-gallon bucket next to you. They give you some gloves and a couple of knives, and you have a punch card on your belt. And if you fill the bucket to the very, very top of shucked clams, you get $3. There's no hourly rate. There's no base pay. There's nothing else. It's $3.
Piecework,
right. And so my first day of training, I'm watching, and the people who are good at it are filling buckets in like 7 or 8 minutes. And I'm like, oh, easy. I can do that. So I take the job. I get to the line. It's 4 a.m. I'm a little girl with no mustache. And the buzzer comes on, and the conveyor belt kicks in, and these clams come down. And the people around me have like hands like the Flash. You've never seen hands move so fast. Their buckets are filling up, and 6 hours go by. I've got a half a bucket filled up with clams.
$1.50.
I made $1.50 today. That was my day. Now, the other part of this job is also a very, very dangerous job, because in front of the clam shucking line are these, every 6 feet, there is a cement barrel. It's about 8 feet across, about 8 feet tall, and it has the big explosives logo on the front of it. And so the rule is, if you find something that might be a grenade, I'm not making this up, you pick it up, you toss it in one of those barrels, you hit the big red button that's next to you and say, "Down!" And everyone freezes and jumps onto the line in case it blows up. And that only happened.
How often did that happen?
So I worked there a week. It happened 3 times. Yeah. Yeah. After a week, I decided McDonald's is a great job. And I went there and I was so happy to be flipping eggs at 4 a.m. instead of shucking clams at 4 a.m. Worst job ever, clam shucking. There it is. You heard it.
I'm surprised they didn't have a machine that does it. But
If you can pay people $3 for a 5-gallon bucket of clams, why buy a robot?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, the world.
Anyway, it was the worst job ever. And by the way, when I was working at McDonald's, I met Norm McDonald. You know Norm from the comedian?
That's like a two.
I know. And nothing to do with McDonald's at all, but he ordered French fries, and he came in, and he was like, "I want to order some French fries." And I went, "What kind? They're so hot that it makes the roof of my mouth kind of melt off and hurt a lot and cry. I want to cry when I eat my French fries. That's how hot I want them." That's how you got French fries. So, true story.
Norm.
I do like him. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was starstruck and just pushed the French fry button, took his money, but it was still.
Did you make sure his fries were hot?
I don't know what I did. I was like 18 and scared of famous people.
You want to go shuck clams?
Go shuck clams at the cannery. It'll be fun. I want to shuck so many clams that my bucket fills up with $5 worth of clams, even though you only pay $3. So.
So, Richie, you're going to start to can perch in your home? Start a little side business?
Talking about filling a 5-gallon bucket to make $3, I would probably make $3 my whole entire life with 2-inch fish. So that would not be a wise economic decision.
You have to find really small cans.
Or use pickerel. Make it like caviar, just a little dollop.
It's funny because tomorrow we've got a fishing trip book that's a perch fishing trip, and the clients want to catch and cook fish on the ice. That's their whole goal tomorrow, which I hate doing for clients. I like clients, but I don't like catching and cooking at the time because it's, first of all, catching a fish is enough pressure, and then having to cook it for someone on top of that is just like, I want to cook them hamburgers and hot dogs. That's what I want to do.
How are you going to cook them on the ice?
Well, I'm not. The ice will keep them cold. I'm going to bring fire. I have a little grill. I'm bringing out. I think what I'm going to do is just keep it really simple. I'm going to bring a skillet, butter, salt, pepper, and garlic. And just if they catch one, I'm going to just fillet it up and throw it on the grill with salt, pepper, and garlic, and think, all right, eat it. There's your food.
I have a better idea, Clay. This is what you do.
Oh God!
You take them. You hide them behind yourself, and then you take a can of the herring out. And you give it to them, and they will be so impressed.
I'll be like, ta-da! Gooey duck.
Gooey duck, yeah.
You didn't know perch was like this.
Oh. Perch is surprisingly smoky. Well, that's it. Any final thoughts on canned fish from the Wild Fish Cannery?
It's so refreshing to not have something horrible, to have something I would eat like as a meal. It is nice.
It is nice. What about you, Tim?
I just loved it. I'm definitely going to try some of the other ones on their site.
Yeah, and we want to – go ahead.
I still have the gooey duck I have to try, but the salmon and the herring are just out of this world.
Yeah, you're not going to go wrong. The gooey duck is shockingly good. It has a little bit of a liver texture to it if you just eat it right out of the can.
Yeah, chop it up. Little tiny bits, mm-hmm. pasta, or I don't know what else you do with it. I can't think of what else I'd do with it, but it's really good.
I might put mine in an omelet.
Gooey duck omelet?
Mm-hmm.
With the eggs, that would be good.
Yeah, why not? Everything's possible, Rich. It's possible. Yeah. Anyway, we want to thank Wild Fish Cannery for sending that fish on our way. And Tim, thank you for making that connection for us. That was pretty cool.
Glad to do it. It was fun.
It was fun. And actually, that's the whole show. I don't need any more content tonight. I have everything I need. So we're going to wrap it up unless you guys have anything else to say. All right. So that's it. You've listened to a bunch of fish nerds when you should have been fishing. Big thanks to Wally Pleasant for our theme music. Thank you to Wild Fish Cannery for the delicious fish they sent our way. Thanks to Manscaped for what you've done for me today. Appreciate you. That's our new sponsor, by the way, in case you're not keeping up. That's why my face is so clean, but I'm afraid to shower. And
you look like a little girl.
I look like a little girl. Thank you, Tim Beat. And thank you, Rich Collins, for helping with cooking the fish tonight. And until next time, follow the code of the fish nerds. Spawn early and often. Never trust a free lunch with strings attached. And swim against the current every chance you get. And I need to switch over to the right music so I can end this.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds.
Fish nerds.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Just for the halibut.
Fry it in a basket or broiled in a pan. Eat it raw like you're in Siam. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.